Well, please have your Bibles open at 1 Peter 5. Now, a few years ago, I used to enjoy reading the Bernard Cromwell books about the Napoleonic Wars. Has anyone else read any of them? Has anyone seen Sharp on TV? But there we are, you know the stories. Deary me, you don't know the author. But, they were made into a very popular series of, TV mini films, weren't they? And I don't know if you noticed, but all the stories are actually the same. But I just wanted to draw out a thought from that. Most of us, about half of us, are familiar with Sharp. He was a captain in the fictitious character, but he was a captain in the 95th Rifles. And they were a battalion, or a regiment, weren't they, of sharpshooters. And their job was to skirmish. So they used to go in front of the battle lines. In those days, they all used to line up on a field and take aim at each other. They'd go in front, and their job was to pick off the enemy leaders. That was their main role in the battle, was to make sure that the enemy didn't have any leaders. And then the ordinary troops that weren't trained as well as the sharpshooters, who were taught to think independently, they would struggle in the battle because they wouldn't know where to go for leadership. And without that leadership, the enemy would just crumble and collapse and run away. And it was one of the ways that the British Army was able to win those Napoleonic Wars along with their allies. Strong leadership is absolutely essential. And if the leadership isn't there, things just crumble and collapse and fall into confusion. You also need a united leadership who's all on the same page. And all we need to do is look at our politicians at the moment, and we can see what happens when a leadership is divided and people seem to be out to run their own agenda or to make a name for themselves. We know that having the right people with the right skills in charge is absolutely critical. And we also know that those people who are in charge are the ones who are more likely to be in the firing line. Because if you want to undermine and defeat an organization, a group of people, if you cut off the leaders, then they will crumble a lot more easily. Well, Peter is writing to this church, and it's a church that's going through a time of suffering which is only going to get worse and worse. And it's been really a pretty rough few verses of scripture. If we look at what we were thinking about last week, suffering for being a Christian, that's going to encourage you, isn't it? But we also saw that Peter was given what's known as like a feedback sandwich, where you start off with something good, and then you've got the bad news in the middle, and then you finish with something else that's good. And this little bit, 1 Peter 5, verses 1 to 5, this is the something else that's good. Because he said to them, you are going to face incredibly difficult times. He's reminded them of the unity that they've got together, incredibly difficult times they're going through and are coming. And then he turns and he talks about their leaders. And their leaders are there, their elders are there to carry them through. Now, as a church, we know that our leader, the one in charge, cannot be touched or affected in any way at all, can he? Because he is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's there enthroned in glory in heaven. And now he has all authority and all power. And we are united to him. He is the head. We are the body. He is the vine. We are the branches. Our leadership is absolutely secure. But we also know from the pages of scripture that the Lord has raised up middle management. We all love middle management, don't we? And this middle management are the people who are called elders. These elders are men who the Lord has called and the Lord has gifted, and he has put them into positions of authority within his church. So they are people who are operating underneath the Lord's authority, and they are responsible for the care of the people. They're drawn from amongst the people, and they are considered a part of the people at the same time. And these people, the elders in this church, as they were reading what Peter was writing, they must have been thinking about the heavy weight of responsibility that was going to fall upon them. Because they know that the people are going to look to them for care and support during the difficult times. So their presence is good news for the people, but it's a heavy burden for them to bear. So Peter's writing to them, to the elders among you. I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who will also share in the glory to be revealed. And here it's great to see how Peter is coming down to their level. He's getting on their wavelength. He's not there saying, well, I'm an apostle and you're just elders. Which he could have done. He could have done that. He could have lorded it over them. But we see that humility is a key characteristic of Christian leadership. And Peter is modeling that humility here. He's saying, I am an elder just like you. I'm there alongside you. So he's in it with them. And as we've already observed in this round of persecution, this is the point that church tradition tells us that both Peter and Paul lost their lives. So he really was at the cutting edge of this. He really was in it with them. So he was a fellow elder with them, but he was a fellow elder who had, as it were, some special experiences which really help us to understand what he's saying here. So we're just going to think a moment about some of Peter's experiences from the Gospels, and then you see how this sort of feeds into the advice that he's given to these elders. So we all know Peter, don't we? The man who always put his foot in the mouth up until the day of Pentecost. But then he kept getting things wrong as well. Just look at the start of Galatians. But he's a man who saw the Lord, who knew the Lord. He was there on the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw the Lord's glory with his own eyes. There's only a few people in all of human history who have seen even a shadow, an echo of that glory. So he's part of that small and special group. He's also someone who is a witness of Christ's sufferings. He was there in the outer court of the high priest's house, wasn't he? And there he fell completely. He got it all wrong. If you just look on, we see, don't we, verse 8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And when he wrote that well-known verse, he'd just been talking about the sufferings of Christ. And we know he didn't do particularly well, did he, at the sufferings of Christ? He denied his Lord 3 times. He was scared of a young serving girl. And he blasphemed the name of the Lord. So Peter was a man who knew about spectacular failure, but he also knew about restoration. At the end of John's Gospel, we see that the resurrected Lord, 3 times, our Lord says to him, Simon, son of Peter, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And what does he say after that? Feed my sheep. And 3 times, and we understand the 3 times is the counter, the 3 times he denied his Lord. But it brings out something else that's very interesting. Because he's saying, do you love me? And he's saying, yes. And then Jesus is saying, feed my sheep. And there's an important lesson there for someone who is an elder. In order to do that job properly, there's a link between your love for the Lord and feeding the sheep. Because elders, church leaders, and when we're talking in scriptural terms, the title that we see here is elder, it gives us the name presbyter, and then we've got shepherd, which gives us the name pastor, and overseer, which gives us the name bishop. And those terms are all used interchangeably of the same people. So someone who is an elder, according to scripture, is also a bishop, an overseer, and also a pastor. It's all the same term. And over the years, church tradition has grown up and given different people titles and different people different roles. According to scripture, it's the same group of people who are all doing the same job. And the motivation for that job is their love for the Lord. And we see that their job really breaks down into three categories. They are to shepherd the flock. They're to lead them. They're to feed them. And they are to protect them. So we see here in verse 2. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. This is an important role in the church, being an elder. And like all roles in the church, the gifts and skills and abilities that the individual needs are the Lord's gift to them. The Lord gives to each of his people different gifts for the building up and the edifying of the church. And that means that an elder is not some special person who's head and shoulders above everyone else. But he's someone that the Lord has given to the church to fulfill this role as elder or middle management. That's what the person is there. So the person isn't special in any way. Everything that we have are things that we have received from the Lord. And they're called to be shepherds of God's flock. And that reminds us straight away that they're middle management of God's flock. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is entrusting them to look after them, to care for them, to protect them, to lead them, to serve them. Any authority that they have is a derived authority from the Lord. It comes from him. And their responsibility here that's being brought out is to shepherd, to pastor the flock. Now, we all know, don't we, that shepherds back then were a little bit different to shepherds today. I'm sure in the fields around us, you've seen the farmers looking after their sheep. You know, they dump the sheep in a field, it's walled off, and then they go away, and they pop back maybe once or twice a day to give them a little bit of food and make sure there's water and things like that. And if they're going to round them up, they either put a great big pile of food down there and call them over, or they send the dog in to round them up. Quite different to shepherds in the Middle East. What they used to do in those days is they used to go out into the fields, but the fields were probably more like the top of Pendle, a bit of a wilderness, really. They didn't have the fences everywhere to keep the domestic animals in and the nasty animals out. There'd be boundary markers and things, but it wouldn't be like we have. And the shepherds would stay in the fields with the sheep. They would look after them. They would care for them, and they would lead them. They wouldn't drive them like cowboys drive cattle. Rather, they would lead them, often calling them. They would give the sheep names. They would take them to new places where there was pasture, where there was water. And they would make sure that that area was safe. There's all sorts of hazards out there. There's poisonous plants. There's snakes. There's all sorts of things which could harm the flock. And the shepherd would make sure that the area was safe. Likewise, in the church, the elders are to shepherds of the flock, which means that they do care for their needs, that they know them, that they care about them, and they make sure that they're able to get good, clean food. And that, of course, is something that we understand as a spiritual thing, and that's referring to God's word. God's people need God's word. That's the spiritual food that elders are required to provide for the people. So they make sure that within a church there is a good diet of the teaching of God's word, suitable for all, for building up, for training, for correcting, for rebuking, so that the people grow in their love and knowledge of Christ. That's a key part of being a shepherd. Another part is, of course, protection. We live in a world where there are all sorts of problems. the people here that Peter's writing to, they had persecution coming from the state. But we know in the other letters there were all sorts of people going around with funny ideas. And it was the elders' responsibility to be a theological gatekeeper that guarded the church from false teaching. Which means they need to know their stuff. They need to know what is right. They need to know what is wrong. They need to know the areas where Christians can take slightly different viewpoints and still get along. And they need to make sure that what's taught in the church is the truth of God's word. And we live in a day and age today where there are all sorts of ideas circulating around there, even within the church, which are contrary to God's word. And we live in an age where there seems to be increasing pressure on the church to adopt the ways of the world. And it's going to be a tough battle for us. Just this afternoon, I was looking at BBC News, and they had a little video on there, which will still be on if you want to have a look. And I think it was called something like Gay, British and Christian. And it was a 7-minute interview with three people on there. And it's very interesting to watch because you can see the pressure coming upon the church. And there were people within there that were embracing that with open arms and saying that the church is backward for rejecting it and highlighting that many churches just close the doors and don't want to talk about it. And to those people who campaign on these issues, they will be coming to get us. The first people to feel that pressure will be the elders. So we need to be making sure that we keep these people in our prayers because they've got that job to protect the flock and not give in, not capitulate to the pressure of this world. It's a tough time that we find ourselves in. So to feed, to protect, and of course to serve as well, to look after and care for the flock, to know each person, to know about their needs and their worries. And this should be something that an elder wants to do. If it's a job that you don't want to do, then it's not a job that the Lord has equipped you for. And in the end, that's to the detriment of the church. In the easy times, it's not a problem. But in the difficult times, then trouble arises. Jesus talked about himself as the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. But in that passage in John's Gospel, he also talks about the hireling, the person who is the hired hand, who doesn't really care for the sheep. And while the sheep are there and everything's going well and it's all peachy and rosy, they're quite happy to take their pay. But the second that the wolf appears, the second that trouble comes, they leg it and they reveal themselves for who they really are. People who run away from their responsibilities. So being a shepherd of God's flock, it's a job that the Lord equips people for. It's a job that people are called to. They're to do it willingly. And as we see here, they're not to pursue dishonest gain. Now, that's not really a problem in the nonconformist church. As, there were very few churches out there that pay the sort of wages that some churches get. But in some places, people do enter the ministry in order to pursue gain. So we can think in our own land. I'll always remember a story I've shared before here about when I was at college, and it was an Anglican college, so we used to have bishops coming in on Thursdays to teach us, to preach to us at the communion service. It's very interesting because we got to see all sorts of bishops, some of them excellent, some of them otherwise. And one of the ones who was really good, he told a story about how he had to recruit someone to be a vicar of a particular parish in his diocese. And this guy, he came in and he said, "Don't show me the church, I've seen a picture, it's lovely. I don't want to meet the people. Just show me the vicarage." That's all he was interested in, was the house that came with the job. And this bishop, to his credit, said he didn't get very far, but no doubt he moved somewhere else and found it. But there's another situation, prosperity gospel. which is a huge problem in developing parts of this world. And it's a doctrine which I know is taught at churches within 5 miles of this building, because I've talked to Christians from those churches, and they hold to prosperity teaching. And in prosperity teaching, the minister is supposed to be the wealthiest person in the church. And certainly what I've seen in Africa, people set up a church and they gather people around them, because each week they sit in their own church and they have this thing where they stand at the front with a tray, and you walk up and you put your money in the tray in front of everyone. And then that money is turned and they give it to the pastor. That's a dreadful practice. And in a place like where I've seen it in Zambia, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, Malawi, a place where there is so little in the way of money and people are struggling so much, to have a practice like that and the idea that the minister is getting all the money, you can see why the prosperity gospel takes off in places like that. So it's quite easy for someone to be an elder in the church for dishonest gain. And we see here that Peter is warning against this, because it was clearly a problem then. So they're not to do it for dishonest gain, and they're not to lord it over those entrusted to you either. And that's an important point, because we live in a society that decides how valuable you are by the role that you've got and the money that you earn. So if you've got a job which people perceive as important, or you will have a lot of money coming in, they think that you are better than other people. And that's why so many people in the world are constantly trying to get promotions and things like that. They're trying to get up the ladder because they think it will make them better people. That's complete nonsense, isn't it? Complete nonsense. But sadly, it does happen in the church. Within the church, we see that there are some people who are not called for leadership. We see in the Bible that the Bible clearly teaches that an elder should be male. But there are many people out there, many ladies out there, who they take this thinking from the world and they say, oh, that person at the front, well, they've got that job at the front, they must be more important than me, and I want equality. And it's one of the drivers behind the egalitarian movement, is that idea that in order to be equally valuable, you've got to be performing the same role. And yet we see that God gives different roles to men and women, and yet both are made in the image of God, and both are equally valuable. So, to import that thinking into the church leads to all sorts of problems and issues. And it's where people have got the wrong end of the stick, and they think the person on the platform is more important than the person in the pew. And of course, many of us are familiar with the clergy-laity divide in some churches, where you can only do things on the platform if you've got special training or you've been blessed by the bishop or something like that. That sort of thing is not found in Scripture, and it's just an example of lording it over people. Rather, the elders are to be examples to the flock, aware that they have been drawn from within the flock, they're a part of the flock, and they've been given a special role to do, a middle management role. But it doesn't make them any more important or valuable. They are to be people who lead by example. And they're to do this because they want to do it. And then we see in verse 4 that there's another one of those verses which promises a reward. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. We all know that serving the Lord is the most important thing that we do with our lives, because our service for him is the thing that lasts forever. And for those people that the Lord asked to spend a bit more time serving the Lord in whatever capacity, but in this case as an elder, then he will acknowledge that work and he will reward it. And you will receive a crown of glory that will never fade away. So for those people who are called to be elders, their role as elders will be acknowledged for all eternity. It will never fade away. But they're in that position because the Lord has called them. And if the Lord is not calling, then you're much better off doing what the Lord has asked you to do rather than thinking, I should be doing that role. So these people, the elders, they are given to the church to support, to lead, to protect, to serve, to care for the church. And people within the church, they need to pray for their elders because they're on the firing line. And we also need to be aware that the enemy, we have an enemy, the devil, he wants to destroy the church. And one of the easiest ways he can do that is division within a church. A divided enemy is easily defeated. So if he can't get rid of the leaders, he'll try and divide the church. So there in verse 5, Peter's talking to everyone else. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the pride but shows favor to the humble. And the commentary writers, they think that Peter here is writing to the younger men. There was an age generation gap even back then. It goes on. It's always the same, isn't it? There's the younger people who feel that they should be the ones in charge and they do things so much differently. And then there's the older people who for 20 years have sat there waiting to be in charge. And as soon as they get in charge, the young people want to take it off them. And so it goes on. They're to submit themselves to their elders. And submission is a clear theme through this book, hasn't it? Isn't it? Think how much we've thought about submission. You know, we've picked it up really from chapter 2, verse 13. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority. So there we're talking about how we submit to the government. And the government they were submitting to was pretty bad. And then we've got about slaves. Slaves had to submit to their masters. And then wives were to submit to their husbands, and husbands were to love and care for their wives. And all of this submission is linked to the way that all of us submit to Christ. And that submission carries on within the church. Jesus is the one in charge. He appoints the middle management. So if we want to be people who are doing what the Lord wants, we follow what the middle management, the elders say, providing, of course, that the elders are moving in the way that the Lord wants. So they're to submit themselves to their elders. And then Peter says, all of you. He's writing to the elders. He's writing to the people who have got other roles within the church. All of you, clothe yourself with humility. And being humble is not thinking too much of ourselves, not getting too big for our boots, not thinking, oh, we understand the gospel. We're better than the people outside the church. We can answer all of their questions. We are to be humble because humility is linked to the fear of the Lord. Recognizing who God is, recognizing who we are, understanding the price that he had to pay for us to be saved. Recognizing that we have received our redemption, our salvation through grace. Not because we're good, nice people who are better than others. Not because we're the only people in the world who could do that job for the Lord. But because of his grace, he has chosen us. We're to be humble because God opposes the proud. Because every proud person is seeking to replace God. That's what pride's all about. It's inflating yourself. It's blowing yourself up with self-importance. God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. So as a church, what do we do? Those of us who have got positions of leadership, we need to bear this in mind, remembering what we're called to do and serving diligently. And everyone else, keep us in your prayers. Keep on praying for us. Because our enemy, the devil, the roaring lion, he's like one of those people in the 95th Rifles. And he's out, he's trying to pick off those people who are in leadership positions. He's trying to get rid of them. And if he can't do that, he'll come in and he'll try and divide the church from their eldership. The only protection we have is prayer and a willingness to follow the Lord's leading, a willingness to be those humble servants that the Lord wants us to do. Not inflating ourselves over other people, but being submissive to Him, following His will. And to live like that is so different to the way that the people of this world live. So we pray that as we follow the Lord, that He will protect us from the dangers that are out there, and we can be a light in a dark place. And people can look in at us and see that you can live a different way. You can live a way that is in line with God's thinking, and that is the best way to live. Amen.